Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good show for you today, if I do say so myself, and I'll tell you why I think it's going to be a good show. We've got a great guest. In fact, she was very patient with us. We had to reschedule because of some technical difficulties, so I'm very excited to bring back, she's been on the program before, Erin Botsford. She's a certified financial planner and a chartered retirement planning counselor. She's founder and CEO of the Botsford Group, a boutique financial planning firm. And she's written a book, and she's lived it, walked it, talked it, and worked on this financial planning thing for a long time. So I'm very excited to have her come and be with us. The book, The Big Retirement Risk, thebigretirementrisk.com. That's the website. And Erin's got a very interesting background, and I could talk for a good 30 minutes, but then we'd have nothing left to talk, nothing left for the show talking about Erin's background. But she's very well regarded in her field, and I'd love to dive in and work with her. She's been in the business a long time. She is also an outside the box thinker, and I like that about Erin. So let's get her on. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Well, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I'm excited to talk with you. And I'm holding the big book called The Big Retirement Risk, and the book, The Big Retirement Risk, Running Out of Money Before You Run Out of Time. That's what it all boils down to, doesn't it?
It sure does, especially in these days.
Yeah, a lot of people are anxious, you know, and I did a recent column in my local paper helping people keep some perspective. You know, you have the talking heads on television or radio or television, columns, papers, whatever, present company accepted, of course, but they seem to be fretting over the latest, you know, 90-point change in the market on a given day. And, you know, you and I both look at that and go, it's 0.5%.
Yeah.
But they're freaking out because, again, they have to do something with all that ink and all that airtime. And, you know, a modest pullback of 5% would be 900 points on the Dow. People will freak out.
Well, yeah, they will. And I think you and I both know it's because they're focused on the wrong thing. They're focused
exactly.
On some elusive number on their balance sheet when, in fact, you know, as you and I work with our retiree clients, we know that their ability to retire and stay retired is dependent on one thing, and that's cash flow. So they need to have regular, consistent, predictable cash flow. So the idea that a 900-point swing on the Dow is going to make a difference, that means they've got really, really bad financial planning going.
Well, you said it very well. You've hit the nail on the proverbial head, because if a 5% pullback, which is not an unusual occurrence, and it is to be expected, and it's normal, and it's nothing bizarre. A 10% correction would be 1,800 points on the Dow, and that too, Erin, as you know, is not anything extraordinary.
No. And, you know, people should start getting prepared for that. So I fully expect that, and I think it would be healthy for, you know, the overall markets to get a nice pullback. So I think people are so hesitant because of the last financial crisis.
Sure.
But let's face it, even that, I mean, it was big and dramatic. But I will say, if people's, you know, financial position was done correctly, they shouldn't have had to worry about that. I think the first one was, remember when we had 2000, 2001, 2002,
mm-hmm.
2003, I mean, that long, long protracted slug downward, I think that was a lot harder on retirees than a bam, you know, get it over with.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that, but that's what I experienced in my practice.
Well, I remember both distinctly as you do, and I do recall that 2000 through 2002 was, it was the length. It was painful. It was, as you said, it kind of just drug on. But you know, it's interesting, both in that 2000 to 2002, as well as 2008, the people that we're doing the planning the way you and I would say the right way, where they're not drawing their living income from something, an investment that is gyrating, they're the ones that fared much better. In fact, 2008, and you probably had a similar experience with your clients, my clients overall, you know, they weren't down 40%
right.
Because we didn't have all their money in the market.
Right, right. Exactly right. Well, and I have to admit, after 2008, I had come up with this concept called lifestyle-driven investing, and I started working on this in 1995. And, you know, it was quasi-proven in 2001, 2002, and 2003, because before that it was just a theory. But when I saw that my clients didn't have to adjust their lifestyle in retirement, then, you know, I thought, okay, well, in 2008, when it still worked, that's exactly why I wrote my book. And because I felt like, well, I saved 450 clients from, you know, disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But there was millions and millions of people who had their assets positioned in a wrong manner that suffered as a result of the 2008 financial crisis. And I often wonder, what are those people going to do? Because most of them didn't change the way they think about money. So, you know, now that they've crawled out of the proverbial ditch, it's just we're one more correction away from them having to, you know, worry again. And I hate that. So that really is why I wrote my book.
Well, so I think you would also agree then, you know, and of course, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Now is a really good time to reevaluate where you are and whether you have too much in the market, whether you can weather another downturn. It's tongue-in-cheek because in my mind, it's always a good time to reevaluate to make sure you're in the right places.
Well, it always is. And, you know, we are in the sixth year. No, excuse me. We're going into the seventh year of a bull market. Mm. We've never had that. And really, you know, if you look back, and I believe in sort of the seven-year itch, I think that we're going to have a very large pullback coming up, only because history tells us that that's what's going to happen. We had, we're in 2015. Okay, you go back 7 years, we had 2008. You go back 7 years before that, we had 2001 during the 9/11 crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You go back 7 years before that, we had 1994, where the bond market went down 34%. You go back 7 years before that, you had 1987. I mean, we all know what happened in October 1987. So I just don't think that I don't think it's inconceivable that that history might repeat itself. And so I always tell people, let's start rethinking how we think about money.
Amen. Well, and you know, it's seven's a convenient number. It's almost like here come those seven skinny cows to eat the seven fat cows. But but you know, the thing that is interesting about your remark, and I like the way you put it, Aaron, because the thing that we need to plan on is, you know, as soon as we say, because I don't want to make sure people don't mishear us, Aaron, as soon as you and I say, look, this market is historically long, and we know that these corrections can occur, you need to plan for it. Somebody out there might hear you and I talk about that and misconstrue and think that we're telling them to take all their money out of the market and put it in cash. I'm not saying that at all. I'm sure you're not. But you have to, because it might be that as soon as you do that, guess what the market does? It runs another 3 years.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We've got to be prepared. We've got to prepare for this reality and with the knowledge that we can't know when it's going to change.
No. No, and in fact, because of, you know, quantitative easing, I mean, this could go on for a long, long, long time. You know, as long as there's just basically free money out there, we could have a market that goes up. Now, you and I both know that if the longer and the more protracted this market goes, you know, there is some worry about a bubble. So I think, really, in my humble opinion, the only thing that's going to stop this train from continuing to run would be some kind of black swan event that mm-hmm. either you or I can predict or anticipate, or, you know, so we have to plan for the worst and just hope for the best. And I think the way that you manage money, the way that I manage money, you know, our clients are going to be protected, you know, good times or bad, which is really, really fun. So,
well, and that's the job of an advisor, Aaron, as you and I preach to the respective choir here. I mean, that's what an advisor does, is to look at somebody and say, look, let's talk about what you're really trying to accomplish. And I know in your book, you talk about the house of security. So I want to come back after the break and talk a little bit about that. Aaron Botsford, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, chartered retirement planning counselor. Her book, The Big Retirement Risk, and the website, bigretirementrisk.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we are back with Aaron Botsford, certified financial planner, chartered retirement planning counselor. Aaron started her firm back in 1995, just 2 years before I started mine, Erin, and of course before that she worked as a stockbroker with A.G. Edwards in 1989. So a good track record, a good deep and broad range of experience, which we're getting to take advantage of, ladies and gentlemen, today with Erin. So I want to get to this house of security, the house that Erin built. So tell us about the house of security that you talk about in your book, The Big Retirement Risk, and we'll kind of dig into that. But give us the concept.
Well, the concept is this, that when people retire, and most of our clients, that's what we're planning for, is the day that all the work that they've, you know, put into their careers, they've amassed a certain amount of money, and how are they going to position their assets in such a way that they can live off those assets for the rest of their life. And so our primary concept is this, is that not all expenses are created equal in terms of, I think that housing or shelter, food, paying your utilities, in healthcare should take a higher priority than country club memberships and vacations.
Sure.
And so knowing that, what we do is we create their financial model. We start off the base of their house of security, if you think about a house, is what are your needs? And we ask them to fill out a worksheet, and we work with them and say, your needs, these are your non-negotiable items. And I will say this is very popular, especially among women, because there's an interesting statistic that 95% of women out there, they fear becoming, you know, ending up broke and penniless. And so what we want to make sure is, you know, even women or households, is that their absolute non-negotiable items are met. And so we determine what those are, and let's say those items are $60,000 a year. Well, we do know for most of our clients they're going to have Social Security, so whatever Social Security will cover, then there's some number left over. And what we do is we say, okay, we're going to take a certain amount of money then to fund your needs, and we call those lifestyle investments. Now, a lifestyle investment isn't a name for it. It isn't a money market. It's not a CD. It's not a bond. It's not an annuity. It's a filter, and here's the filter. So we know we're going to need X amount of dollars, and so what we're going to put our money in is something that produces an income for sure, and we want to make sure that income is either safe or predictable or guaranteed. It must defend one of those words. And to the largest extent possible, let's say we have to put $500,000 in a lifestyle investment. We also make sure that we put it in some kind of a legal wrapper that gives our clients asset protection. Because what we want to make sure is, let's say their grandchild comes home, drives their car, you know, hits somebody, and, you know, it leads back to our client, and the client's being sued for $30 million. We want to make sure that the assets that are being used to fund their non-negotiable needs are not available to ever satisfy any kind of a judgment against them. So the asset protection piece is really, really important to us. So that covers their needs. Then we go up the spectrum. What are your wants? And that's their extraneous things, their country club memberships, their vacations, their gifts, their whatever. And we solve those with a different type of investment. We call them a hybrid. A hybrid is certainly, it needs to provide an income, but we would never, you know, you can never say that income was safe, predictable, or guaranteed. So we don't put $1 million in a hybrid investment. We might put $50,000 or $100,000 in 10 different hybrid investments.
Mm-hmm,
and then finally, their legacy, their wishes, their, you know, we call them likes and wishes, their legacy desires, we put in, you know, other types of investments. We call them non-lifestyle. We try and be very aggressive with their non-lifestyle money because they're not going to need that. If we've got their needs and their wants covered, then we want them to be aggressive with their non-lifestyle money. The problem that we find is most people are trying to plan for their entire retirement with nothing but non-lifestyle type of investment. So that's kind of the concept of the house of security.
That's very good, Erin. I think that you've hit really solved and hit a fundamental thing is that, you know, when you start trying to build your house, it's what creates all this insecurity on the part of retirees and their anxiousness over those non-secure investments and how dependent they are on those for their ongoing income and their continued retirement. And it's what causes people, and I'm not picking on anybody out there, and if you're doing this, ladies and gentlemen, don't take this the wrong way, but, you know, this is why people have this urgency and desire or need to check the market every day. What, you know, not just out of curiosity, but out of assuring that they're on the right track. And I ran into this recently with a woman who is, she's got a spreadsheet, Aaron, and she checks it every day. She's monitoring it, and it, she's drawing. And the reason is she's drawing their retirement income out of a predominantly stock market investment approach. And it's just such a risky and unnecessary risk approach to this.
Well, and you know what I find fascinating about that, David, is that the fact that anybody would be doing that today, you know, I could see why somebody did that 10 or 15 years ago, but having gone through 2001, 2, and 3, and 2008, I just can't imagine anybody would do that because they're not checking, she's not checking it out of curiosity. She's checking those market statistics out of pure fear.
You got it.
You know,
you got
it. And that's just no way to live. In fact, I had a, believe it or not, I had a hedge fund manager from New York who somehow he read my book and he called me up and he said, you know, I manage an extraordinary amount of money. And he said, but I tried, he goes, I tried this retirement thing and I went up to my cabin in Vermont. And he goes, I found myself checking the stock market like 8 to 10 times a day. And he said, I thought, how am I ever going to retire if this is how I'm going to live my life?
Right.
And I'm a professional.
Right.
And
he
then
knows
he got
better.
A hold of my book. And he said, you know, you, the way you think about money in this book is so, you know, relevant, and it makes so much sense. He ended up becoming a client of ours,
you
know, as a result of that. So that was very affirming to the way that you and I both think, that this idea that you're going to base your future and your retirement lifestyle on some market index is just ludicrous. And it's just hard to believe that anybody would do that.
Well, you know, you said, you know, in light of where we've been and the historical perspective here, Aaron, and you know, let's just call it what it is. People have a short memory when it comes to this. You know, their reference point, a lot of people still are very aware of 2008, but the further we get away from it, it has faded to some degree. And, you know, what they expect is what is more recent, even if they have some trepidations. And, you know, it's such a deadly and devastating thing to have to take money out of a mutual fund when it is worth 60 cents on the dollar. You can't do much. There's lots of things you can do worse, but that's a pretty bad one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's complacency is, like you said, deadly. And people, that's what people are right now. They're very complacent and they don't want to think. It's almost like they go, la, 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 la. Everything's going fine. I don't want to think about any bad things that could happen. But I guess that's why you and I exist and our businesses exist, is we have to tell the truth. And the truth is, if you continue to invest your money the way people have, you know, a lot of people are still investing, you know, then, you know, you're going to get the results that you got in 2008 and 2001. I don't know how you change that equation when you continue to think the same way.
Yeah, no, you can't. And I think that's the reality. I think people just need to be, they have to be honest. And I've got a great example I can give our listeners after the break. Aaron Botsford, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, chartered retirement planning counselor, and she's done it. She's all over this. She's got the 2 decades of dealing with this, and I applaud her work. The Big Retirement Risk is the book, the website, bigretirementrisk.com. Quick break. We'll come right back.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Botsford, a like-minded, certified financial planner that I really am pleased to be able to bring back to you to have a conversation about this. Really essential, critical, important, all the appropriate adjectives to tell you how important it is to get this planning right. And she's written the book, The Big Retirement Risks, Running Out of Money Before You Run Out of Time. Because it is a big risk if you find yourself, if we find ourselves as a country, as investors facing another 2008. You know, as you know, Aaron, we saw some rather healthy returns between 2003 to 2007. And, you know, if somebody had gone into the mindset of, you know, if they were retiring back at the beginning of 2008, and let's say they had a $300,000 investment portfolio, and they're 1 year away from retirement. You know, if you either one of us got a hold of them, we would, of course, get them to, you know, make the transition to get more conservative, knowing that they're going to need that money in a year to start their actual retirement income plan. But if somebody had let that ride for that final year of their pre-retirement, you know, hoping to get some more growth before they retired, they would have retired with $180,000, not $300,000.
Yeah, and what do they refer to that to? I think they call it the retirement red zone.
Yes.
That those critical years, I'd say the two to three years before you retire and the 2 to 3 years after you retire, for whatever reason, and you know, there's a lot of data around that's so critical that the planning be done so that, you know, you don't expose your future to, you know, to a market downturn during those critical years.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Aaron, if we take that, and I agree with you, if we take this, my example of $300,000, if we said to any person out there on the street, and we said, look, you are going to need this money, you know, here it is, you got $300,000, you're going to need it in a year. You've got $300,000 in cash. You're going to need it in a year to invest and to go into these things that will provide you income, you know, maintain the lifestyle to which you want to have part of your foundation of income, and you want some of this to go for growth, but you've got a plan for it in a year, and you know that the $300,000 will get you what you need, but you've got a year, so what are you going to do with it? I think very few people would say, you know, David, Aaron, let's take this $300,000. I'm going to go put it all in the stock market and just see how it goes. Nobody's going to do that, are they?
No, but I mean, I think that they can be swayed by people.
But if they're thinking logic,
call themselves professionals to throw caution to the wind, always believing that, you know, things are going to be hunky-dory. And I don't know what the motivation of those people is to put that money at risk. That's unconscionable to me, but it happens all the time.
I call them risk peddlers. I think they're risk peddlers. Yeah. It's just the machinery. You know, a lot of the people that's all they do.
If you
take your car in for service, you know, they're not, you know, they're going to work on your car. I mean, it's in other words, you go wherever you go and there's going to be a response. But, you know, but if somebody just is thinking logically, without that unfortunate, undue, and all too common persuasion maybe to put that money at risk and throw caution to the wind. But if somebody just thinks about this rationally, Aaron, they're not going to take the $300,000 and go gamble with it for a year. But my point is that, you know, that's what somebody is doing by not realizing that if they're 1 year away, they can't stay pedal to the metal with that money in the market if they're going to need it for creating income.
Right, and I will say the alternative, though, I met with somebody not too long ago, and he's so paralyzed with fear. I mean, he has quite a large amount of money, and we did the modeling for him, and, you know, he cannot reach his retirement goals at, you know, keeping it in the bank at 0.1%.
Sure.
So, you know, that's another thing, and I think I always tell people we actually should have gotten psychology degrees because...
I agree.
Well, we manage our emotions. And so it seems like we always vacillate between managing fear and managing greed. And it's very rare that you get people sort of in the middle of that spectrum. And so this gentleman, he is so fearful of doing anything. He's paralyzed with fear. And I'm like, well, the risk to you is you're 65 years old. And if you keep your money in the bank, you're literally making 0.10%. You will run out of money. I mean, I can put that on a spreadsheet
sure.
and tell you the day that that's going to happen. So, you know, there's to some degree, there's some risk that people need to take. And so I think the idea, you don't want to be frivolous about where you put your money, but you also, the idea of being paralyzed with fear is equally detrimental to somebody's situation.
I agree completely. I mean, you know, it's funny as you describe these two polar extremes. I think what I realize about what I do, Aaron, is I'm every day working to pull people from those two extremes because yep. It's getting a mix. I had somebody the other day when I did a financial seminar, you know, ask me, well, how do you put all this together? What do you do? How do you combine? I said, well, you know, you take all this, all these different parts of a plan. And you weave it together. You know, buying a financial product or putting your money into an investment account is not getting a financial plan.
Right.
And that's where people, you know, they just don't realize the level of detail. I just reviewed a financial plan with a prospective client, Aaron, and he's like, I never seen all this put together this way. And I said, well, this is called financial planning.
Yeah. Well, and I think there are also people in the industry, unlike you and I, who we maintain the appropriate licenses to be able to recommend virtually any kind of investment product out there. And there are some who choose not to have certain licenses, and so they're only able to recommend, you know, one type of product. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you end up in their office, if I was to go to a Mercedes dealer wanting to buy a Mercedes, you know,
They're not going to recommend the Toyota.
They're not going to recommend the Lexus.
Right.
They're just not going to do that. And
no.
So I think part of people's due diligence needs to, I mean, just knowing what licenses people, securities and insurance licenses people have, you could actually deduct what type of investment products they're willing to expose you to. And the idea that people wouldn't be exposed to all types of products, I think, is also not really great. I always call myself, I'm a product agnostic.
You know, That's a good way to put it.
There's nothing that's, I don't call anything good or bad. They just are.
Right.
And so, but I think our clients have the right to know that these different types of investment products exist.
And which one you can do.
And the appropriate licenses to be able to do that, as I know you do as well.
Yeah, you got to be able, the person needs to understand which one's just as important as knowing which products or services an advisor can offer, which one they can't.
Right.
And that's really important. All right, Aaron, well, we're going to do this again. Aaron Botsford, CFP, Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor. The book is The Big Retirement Risk, thebigretirementrisk.com. Aaron, pleasure, and you and I are—we must be somehow distantly related.
We are kindred spirits.
I think so. Well, thank you much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.